Hello everyone and welcome to the Press Start podcast. I am your host Stuart Lang, and some of you, if you have extremely good memories, will actually remember me from my last appearance on the Radulich in Broadcasting Network. I believe it was sometime around early 2009 that I took part in two episodes of the Ground and Pound radio show covering the UFC. I wish I could tell you which shows they were, but my memory isn't actually that good either. So, yeah, it's lovely to be back on what will hopefully become a new regular video game-based show. I may get better entrance music than that. That was obviously from Alex Kidd in Miracle World, one of my favourite games. It worked better in my head than it did here, to be completely honest with you. But yeah, I have known Mark Radulich for a long time. I know a couple of the other guys that also partake in podcasts here on this network, and Robert Cooper, Sean Comer, Robert Winfrey as well. Apologies if I'm forgetting anyone. But yeah, it's great to be here bringing Press Start to the Press Start podcast to you guys. Apologies if I'm a little bit nervous. It's the first one that we're doing. However, I do have my own podcasting network as well as an entertainment site focusing on all sort of facets of geek life over on FPG News. So you can find that site, www.fpgnews.com. You can look us up on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. If you want to speak to me directly about the show, hopefully you listen to it. At this point, any sort of feedback that you guys can give will be greatly appreciated as the show grows. This is going to be a bit of a taster, a little bit of an introduction to it, a little bit of, you know, feeling out process so I can see what works and what doesn't, but it's going to be focusing on all different aspects of video game life. And with me, just as a little bit of moral support, I have my fellow FPG writer and fellow Scotsman, if you haven't already told from my accent, Ross Donald on the show tonight. So, Ross, hopefully you're well, if you want to just explain who you are and what you do to the readers, to the listeners, beg your pardon.
Well, I suppose readers as well.
Yeah, hopefully readers too.
So, hey everyone, yeah, I'm Ross. So, on the FPG News website, I do, most of the, the only movie reviews on the site, so some new movies, some older ones, looking into some of them, mostly geek-related. So you can find a few of my reviews on there, like the recent Resident Evil movies, for instance, to maybe link up with the sort of stuff we're talking about today as well.
Yeah, exactly. So obviously there is a new Resident Evil movie out. We're not here to talk about that. However, as an aside, I will say that last week that myself and one of our another one of our colleagues, Michael Reed, who does the MMA Grind podcast on the FPG network, actually went to see XXX, The Return of Xander Cage. And you know what? It was absolutely dreadful, but I had an absolute blast watching it. Because
yeah,
it was so ridiculous. The only thing that I would have liked is if I'd maybe had a couple of beers before the showing. But that's completely as an aside. We're not here to talk about movies. We're here to talk about video games. Now, for those of you who may be familiar with some of the work I've done elsewhere, I have always loved video games. I'm a big retro head. I am one of the founding members of Retro Collective Europe, which is a group that trades and sells games to one another, make sure that we get the best prices, the best deals, and stay away from that whole sort of scalping culture. So you can read up on that on FPG News website. If, again, any questions, feel free to contact me directly. Over the next few weeks and coming months, I'm going to get some of the members of that community to come onto the show, explain their collections, talk about that sort of thing. So please get in touch with the show if you yourself have a particular fondness for the sort of retro gaming aspect of life, if you've got a passion for a particular console or era of gaming, then by all means, let me know. I'd love to chat about it in more depth with you. We're not going to touch too much on anything tonight, like I say. It's just going to be a bit of an introductory one, maybe talk for sort of 20 minutes, half an hour, so that you guys don't get sick, fed up of my voice. And hopefully, I hope that you understand me as well. I'll try and keep my accent low. But right now is a bit of a dry period for games. January's here, January's been and gone, February's arrived, and realistically, there's not a great deal that interests me out there at the moment. I was coming and going a little bit on For Honor, which comes out on February 14th in the UK. I liked the idea of it when I saw it until I actually played the closed beta. It's essentially, I think one of my friends, Darren Ramsey, he put it a better way than I probably could when he said that it's basically Parappa the Rapper meets Dark Souls. And he's kind of right. Like, visually, it's a really good game, but I think I wanted it to be a spiritual successor to Rise, Son of Rome, which, by the way, if you have an Xbox One and you've not played yet, get on board with that. It's a phenomenal God of War-style game set in Roman times. It's phenomenal, really, really good fun. And graphically, it's one of the best on the system still to this day. But yeah, one thing that has come out this year that I've not really looked at is Resident Evil 7. Now, this may be because traditionally I am extremely bad at survival horror games. I prefer to be eventually quite overpowered in games, like take Fallout for example. I make sure that I make my character as big and badass as I possibly can, and make sure I'm stocked up on ammo and stim packs so that no matter what happens to me, I know I'm going to be okay during it. Resident Evil has never been that sort of game, and as a result, I've kind of struggled with it. And there was a lot of big build-up towards the newest entry in that series, Resident Evil 7. And I could probably also throw in now, I don't want to play Resident Evil 7 now, because it looks absolutely bloody terrifying. I watched some Let's Plays of it, and I don't think I'd be able to handle holding the controller. But that's why Ross is here tonight, because Ross, you have not only completed it once, you've played through it now two times, am I correct?
Yeah, correct. So I've seen everything that needs to be seen, I think.
Yeah, so tell me, as someone who is too frightened to pick up a copy of Resident Evil 7, am I right in my fear and trepidation, or, you know, is it really not that bad?
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, horror games are like one of my favourite genres. Like, everything horror I've always been a fan of, so horror games are always up there. Games like Silent Hill, Resident Evil, Project Zero, Amnesia, Outlast, just all those kinds of ones, Alien Isolation. And this, out of all those that I've played before, this is easily one of the scariest ones I've played. I mean, just to give you an idea of it, I started playing the game with headphones, as should be done to every rest of the experience. And there's just one scene near the start where I actually had to pause the game and take the headphones off and just put the sound back on, because there was no way I could just take that. It was that terrifying. It's not even that bad a scene looking back. It's just the way it sort of built up. You're just expecting like the absolute worst to come out of the darkness and get you, and it kind of does. But it's freaking amazing, though. For fans of Resident Evil, it's going kind of back to like their sort of horror roots. Because obviously, if you've played Resident Evil 5 or 6, you know, they're kind of more action oriented with Michael Bay explosions and things like that. So, thankfully, this takes it back to sort of the original ones there. But yeah, it's definitely freaking scary as hell.
So, I mean, with that in mind, I mean, if you look at the first sort of few games, obviously they've just received remasters on the sort of newer generation consoles. Do you think that traditional fans, I mean, you've said that you love them as games, but obviously this one is first person. It's a very different look for the series. You know, it's traditionally third person, some of them even fixed camera, that kind of thing. Do you think that people who've been put off by that should try and look past it? Is there enough in the game for fans of maybe only the first two or three games? Do you think there's enough for them to latch on to in this?
Oh yeah, definitely, yeah. Because I've even looked at the game. If you were to do like a third-person perspective, I think it would give you that same sort of terror of just running away. I mean, first-person does make it worse because it feels like you're actually there. But I mean, I know there's been a lot of fans complaining because this is like one of the first games to have any of like the original classic characters or monsters or anything like that, so they've been trying to boycott it. But I'd definitely say give it a chance, because it's definitely one of the best titles in the whole series, and I've played quite a few of them.
Wow, so that's big praise, sure enough. I mean, yeah, Resident Evil's come out. There's not been anything that I have really actually put any time into this year so far, other than the Assassin's Creed Ezio collection, which I picked up to put me off of the terrible second-to-last chapter in Final Fantasy XV. That really, really threw me off. I don't want to spoil anything if you haven't got there yet, but it's so out of tone with the rest of the game that it actually has stopped me wanting to go back to it. So yeah, I picked up the Ezio collection the week between Christmas and New Year, just as something to have a muck around on one afternoon. And I am now currently halfway through Brotherhood, having like nearly 100%ed, Revelations, beg your pardon, the third game, Revelations, I'm halfway through having nearly 100%ed 2 and Brotherhood. And yeah, it's a really, really great collection. The Ezio sort of trilogy is undoubtedly the standout of the series so far. Possibly include Black Flag in that as well. But right now, like, I was really hoping that For Honor would come and sort of tide me over until the big release of the year that's coming up that I am extremely looking forward to. But all I can say is that right now I think I'm probably going to finish off Brotherhood and possibly replay Black Flag again.
All these updated games, like for the last few months or so, those have been the only games I've sort of bought and gotten into, you know, like so there's the Ezio collection, there's the BioShock trilogy and the Batman Return to Arkham games, and the other, even the Uncharted collection, just all the remake stuff seems to be getting all the most press nowadays, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I've written columns on this previously on FPG News, and yeah, I mean, there's so many you know, sort of remastered update versions, all that sort of thing coming out now. But do you know what? These are all really good games. I mean, I'm actually I just looking at the hard drive on my Xbox as we speak. I mean, just of the games I have installed, you know, I've got the Assassin's Creed collection, the Batman collection that you mentioned, BioShock again, you've touched upon. Dead Island got remastered recently. Dishonored, the Dead Rising collection. You know, these are all just so many games. These have all been within the last 6 months. But here's the problem, is that if you get involved in one that's as in-depth as Assassin's Creed, it becomes really hard to put down. And quite honestly,
yeah,
I'm having an absolute blast with them. And actually, I don't remember Revelations well enough that it actually is playing to me like a new Assassin's Creed game. And that in itself is a great thing for me, to be completely honest.
Yeah, the Assassin's Creed one is one I've still to pick up. I really need to, because Assassin's Creed 2 is actually one of my, probably put that like one of my top 5 games ever. It's just one of those games I just couldn't stop playing it through. 100 hours into just doing all the side missions and stuff, so I'd love to try and do that again.
Yeah, I mean, Assassin's Creed 2 is insane. When I thought about it, like, I know for a fact that I only missed one achievement when I played that on my 360. I didn't quite do that. I think I ended up with like 900 gamer score on this one, because I'm not going and collecting all the feathers and stuff like that. Like, I'm not going there this time. Life is too short. you know, I'm 8 years older and wiser than I was when I spent my time doing that. So I'll play through them. But yeah, the big release that I am holding out hope for, that it delivers, is Mass Effect Andromeda. It comes out at the end of March. It's the first game in the series that isn't going to be focused on Commander Shepard and the crew of the Normandy. And quite honestly, I have to say I don't know much more about it because I am keeping myself away from any sort of hype machine surrounding it. I feel like it'll be easier for my little brain to wait if I just don't know what I'm picking up when it arrives, other than it's Mass Effect, it's BioWare, and it's going to be good. So, yeah, I mean, is there anything off the top of your head that comes out before then that you think that I shouldn't be overlooking, or are you kind of stuck till something better comes out yourself?
There is one I've been looking forward to for a while. I got pushed back kind of recently. I think it's coming out sort of around March time, so it's pretty soon, and that'll be South Park, the amazingly titled The Fractured Butthole. Because I love The Stick of Truth. I've played that so many times, I can't wait for this one just to do the same thing again.
Yeah, no, actually, that is a game that I'd forgotten about. The Fractured Butthole comes out pretty soon. And I hate the fact that they're making me laugh at that terrible, terrible joke. I mean, there's a few games, you know, obviously, For Honor, Sniper Elite 4, they come out in the same sort of day. Halo Wars, I wish I could be intrigued by, but to be totally honest, I think the first one was a little bit too difficult on consoles. I don't really like an RTS with a controller in my hand. I'm not sure what the whole thing with like keyboard and mouse support is on the Xbox One, but to be honest, Halo Wars, probably skip over that. I'm not massive on the sort of Halo universe and that kind of thing. So, yeah, other than that, I mean, Ghost Recon Wildlands might be pretty good fun. I was pleasantly surprised by The Division, so that may be one that I'd dip my toe into if I know I've got friends with it. But yeah, having a look at the sort of games to pre-order, you know, the only other one that I'm looking at is Injustice 2, and I don't think that is until sort of late June.
Yeah, that one will be a bit later on. And obviously, I mean, we can't forget, like, the ones from the amazing, what was it, the PlayStation Comic-Con thing, but it was where we got Last of Us 2 and the Crash Bandicoot trilogy, and so I think they're both out this year, so that's definitely another two to look forward to.
Yeah, now, the Last of Us, I will say that I... that totally fell into sort of Resident Evil territory with me. Not that I was too scared to play it by any means, but just I don't find myself drawn to survival horror games. And by all accounts, I've completely missed a massive, massive game here. Like it's sort of well known as, you know, multiple news outlets game of the year when it came out, I believe 2015. But yeah, I didn't love it, to be completely honest. I got probably about halfway through and wasn't drawn, and I'm terribly sorry if that upsets any listeners. Feel free, Out After Dark 216 on Twitter, feel free to send me a message and tell me why I'm wrong. But yeah, keep it constructive, we're all humans, we all have opinions, and you'll make me cry, so please don't. But yeah, so just sort of slightly off cue on this now, Ross, let's go back a few years now. I know that there is a few years difference in our ages, so this is probably going to make me feel terrible, but what sort of games were you really interested in when you were growing up? What are the sort of the first types of games and first titles you really remember when you were playing games as a youngster?
Oh god, I remember a bunch of games, because it was like I had two sides. My family, and like each side had like a different console. Like my mum, like I was both my granddads, they're granddads, I'm saying Scottish, my two grandfathers, they both kind of got me into gaming. So my mum's side had like a Nintendo 64, so with that I had like the Mario games, Zelda, Star Fox 64, all those classic ones. And then on my other side I had the PlayStation 1, which was games like Spyro, Tomb Raider, which I used to be terrified of, I hated the music in it. What else was the PlayStation? Resident Evil also terrified me when I was younger, obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah, I had another game in my head. I always say Spider-Man, but I think that's just me that loves that one. I don't think that's a famous one.
No, Spider-Man for the PS1 was pretty good, actually. And I would probably say that it was unfortunately overshadowed by the phenomenally good Spider-Man 2 when it came out on the PS2. I thought that was fantastic. But yeah, the PS1 Spider-Man, I remember being pretty decent, to be honest. I mean, around that sort of time, like, I mean, I actually had a Sega Saturn at that period in time. I realised I'd made a terrible, terrible decision and moved over to PlayStation. Admittedly, it took a lot of begging and that kind of thing, because I was too young at that point to actually make my own sort of decisions. about what sort of £250 games console I was going to own. But yeah, I mean, I didn't really get into a great deal of games on the Saturn other than sort of sports titles. Don't worry, I have grown up since then, so sports games are kind of tucked well away from me now, considering I really actually don't care about any of them. Yeah, like when I moved over to PS1, I was massive into like JRPGs, Final Fantasy VII, Vagrant Story, those kind of things. And then, yeah, PS2 came out, I grabbed one straight away, but that kind of also fell into the same period of time where I was moving away from home into my own sort of place, and with that came other things, drinking, going out socialising, girlfriends, that kind of stuff. And to be honest with you, the only game that I can say that I completed on a PlayStation 2 in my entire life is San Andreas. And that's probably something that I've never actually admitted before. I've played other games, obviously. I didn't completely miss out an entire generation of gaming, but it didn't hold my interest, you know. The only one that I actually saw right through to the end was San Andreas, so I'm pretty sure I've got an awful lot of catching up to do.
Yeah, it kind of seems amazing just with the amount of actual great games you can find in the PS3. I mean, I've still got like a bunch sitting here, and games like, I don't know, Kingdom Hearts, although that's what you get after like the Xbox and PlayStation 4 now, so just games like that. In fact, it might be because of the PlayStation 1 that I actually got into like my favourite geek franchise, which is Star Wars, because I remember I've still got it now, actually, is Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace for PS1, which is terrible now, but at the time I had cheat codes and I couldn't die, and I loved it, and that's how I ended up seeing Phantom Menace in the cinema, and the rest is history.
Do you know what? That game was pretty good, if I remember correctly. Yeah. That's the one you could like bounce the laser beams back with your lightsaber, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was Xander's Jedi Power Battles I've got there as well.
It's Jedi Power Battles is the one I'm thinking of. Yeah, that was great. I don't even like Star Wars particularly, but I loved that game.
That one was actually a great one.
Yeah, maybe hasn't aged too well now, but hey-ho. there's not any sort of massive breaking news in the gaming world this week. Obviously, anything that comes up, I will touch upon in coming weeks. I'm kind of just going to summarise things, round it all up, guys. Thanks very much for listening to the first show that is out on the Radulich and Broadcasting Network in terms of the Press Start podcast. By all means, check out FPG News. Make sure you subscribe to both the FPG News podcast site, the Radulich and Broadcasting Network. There's a wealth of phenomenal shows on there. You've got Metal Hammer of Doom. You've got some great stuff. Watch Your Reading by Jesse Starcher. Some of my favourite podcasters are on this channel, so it's an absolute privilege to be on it with them. And hopefully I can get over my first show nerves and I can hopefully give you a really good product going forward. But please, don't be shy in feeding back to me. Like I say, feel free to contact me directly through Facebook. My name's Stuart Lang, that's L-A-N-G-E. Out After Dark 216 on Twitter and Instagram if you want to get me directly on there. But yeah, I'd love to know if you listened, and I'd love to know any sort of things that you want to say about it. But Ross, thanks very much for coming on with me tonight. It's been great having a little bit of a shoulder to lean on here. What are your plans for the rest of your evening?
In fact, just because it's got me in the mood, I might just play Resident Evil 7 again.
There we go. Perfect. I am going to pick off exactly where I left on Assassin's Creed Revelations. So, guys, I hope you have a phenomenal evening. And yeah, I will see you all within another week for another Press Start podcast. Good night.
See you.